This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Yesterday, for example, I'm aware that seems to have come an incredible distance. I have a sense of years having passed since we came, and I have a sense at times of being so sick of the subject of poetry that I could vomit. As a subject, mind you, not as an hour. What I thought we might begin with today is this issue that Robert brought up in his lecture, this question of the numinous. What, spirit of place? Is that located, Robert?
The numen. And then the numinous was a word that was derived from the Latin word numen. A man by the name of Otto in Germany wrote a book on the idea of the holy or something like that, and in order to explain what he meant by holy, he derived from this earlier word numen an adjective numinous. And by the time you come to Jung, numinous is used as a regular thing in the language. But numen is the spirit that inhabits a place. But that place could be a room. It could be a field, it could be a stone, it could be a thing as a place.
It can be a concept, can't it?
No, a numinous idea is a spirit inhabiting, is an idea as a spirit. No, a numen is an actual spirit. And when Jung talks about numinous ideas or numinous, they're like his archetypes. At least in the term, as Otto uses it in the term of religion, it means there is a spirit present there. Yeah. Oh, numinous, N-U-M-E-N, and numinous, I think it's N-U-M-I-N-O-U-S. I had a lot of trouble driving myself to find this word numen, because I couldn't find numinous in dictionaries, and it's used extensively by Freud. I guess I just antiquated dictionaries, which I do have, and this is an example of these new words, too new for you to find. But then, in reading *The Spirit of Romance* by Pound, in the very beginning, he has a fragment from Horace or Virgil, I don't know which, in which this word "numen" is used, and then it's very clear what it is. It's like the spirit that is in the golden bough, like the thing in the place or the tree. I think it's something about that there was a numen there. I'm not sure.
I've sensed, for example, in the last year, working with some of you, my own sense of where I was, for example, having come first from New Mexico and then having come prior to that in a clutch of places, all distinct, that very often one is involved with this sense simply that the where one is become such a volatile and such an insistent question. I, for example, was thinking of the spirit of place and the sense of the numinous in relation to physical place. But then, as Robert was, as we were talking just a few minutes ago, it's not only located there, as he just said. It can be located in the whole issue of anything, anywhere. What one feels and where one is. For example, we were thinking of the sense of writing as a place. A place where one is, literally, as one writes. Because I know that for some of you, the whole question of are you in the right place it becomes very problematic, as it does for me, literally, at times. So that, again, Robert was saying, at times we're trying to resolve this sense of place as spirit, or as this issue of presence, by apologizing for it, or trying to explain what we're doing here as we are here. And you know that what that is like, so to speak. You know. The policeman stops you and asks you what you're doing. And while I was just walking down the street, being in that place, when suddenly the whole question of why you are in that place becomes awkwardly insistent.
And how you got there.
Yeah, how did you get there?
Or the other thing I find that is that it's very easy to feel we have to make it likely that we think or feel so, as if that were part of the, as if that didn't get in the way of the to say I am here. So we go into the not there and keep saying, now, how is it even likely that I'm actually sitting here and start explaining that is one of the things that can derail a piece of writing from its original intention of getting just that this is happening.
Well, I was thinking, for example, in Olson's Maximus poems, the context of this context is paramount. In other words, is a center or is a stem, I think, for the context of the whole poem. Or I was thinking just now, for example, of the sense of being somewhere that Williams gets in the outset of that poem of Asphodel, that green flower, I come my sweet. Is it to sing to you or to speak to you? To sing to you. The sense of coming somewhere, going, coming and going in writing. Where one is again. Now, if the context of place is simply the question of whether or not you live in Ottawa or West Acton or London or San Francisco. In other words, is this a real location? I was thinking again, for example, apropos this newsletter. Why can't one be here? It seems to me that all the people who have been involved with this magazine have been involved with a sense of place, not only not located finally in terms of streets, houses, context of the city, the way the mountains go around it, the way the sea comes in, what has come to inhabit it for them, where they are in that cluster. And what is it that gets between oneself and the place at times interests me. When one feels one's in the wrong place, for example, I do often in the Southwest, there are Indian rites, for example. You can see Indian dances and I've always been embarrassed to, simply that I questioned my own presence in such places, by which I mean it seemed to me that if the ritual were actually opening the place where it occurs, then to be present arbitrarily would be an offense. In other words, it would be, for example, like walking into any church service simply to see what was happening. Now, I remember years ago when I was in the field service, and we'd come after the war, we'd been brought back to England. We were staying camped in a small town above Cardiff called Barry in Wales. And one night we had been drinking heavily, and we'd left this pub that had closed, and had gone out on the street hoping to get to Cardiff, and this friend I was with had gone into one of these kiosks or telephone booths on the street. And it was a very cold night in the fall, and I was standing outside as he made the phone call to the girl he knew in Cardiff to see whether or not she could let us come and so forth. And it was a very dark street, and across the street there was a light that seemed to me to be the front of a bar. And I remember watching my friend make the phone call and getting colder and colder. I thought, well, I'll just go across to the bar and he'll know where I've gone. And so I crossed the street and went into this bar, and I had a sense of people around me. I remember walking up to what I thought was the rail of the bar. And literally, I thought it was the glass rail of the bar. And I could see the bartender behind it. And I looked all the way to the rail before I realized it was not the rail of a bar, it was the rail of a church. And it was, and the man behind the bar was the minister, and that this was a service was in progress.
You know Maury Callahan's story about the confessional?
Well, I, yeah.
The great comedian, sorry.
No, tell me.
Yeah. Finally, then he keeps just saying, I want to get off with Young and Sherburne. So finally, the young priest in an agony, you know, there's people waiting outside, he says in a loud, crisp voice, Young and Sherburne.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's true. That's true of the best. This particular, I remember I asked him for beer, and in my case, and
so
he said, "This is not. You were this. We have no beer here."
We have no beer.
And It was very, but the whole place had such a hush, and then suddenly I turned and I realized then that all these people were, of course, and there was a kind of quiet as I walked back. But then I could sense that it wasn't a condemnation. They wanted, in effect, that this was they felt that reasonably that God had brought me there.
To come to the altar, that's the other thing about here. You had come to a church.
Yeah.
Not only was the bar there, but you were also at the rail.
Yeah.
And that is part of what is. So there are no explanations you can make.
No.
You cannot, when you have actually gone across the street, say, I was mistaken, because you are where you are. I mean, you're not mistaken about where you are when you see it. And there you are. And even I feel that when you ask for beer, when after all it's a wine joint, it was a Christian church, you are that. No, but you are in a drama then that translates from the beer to the wine. What if you'd ask for the wine?
I mean, well, you were Protestant. I don't
well, but all right. So the wine isn't. No matter how it goes, you get back to there when you're there.
I know, only on certain occasions. Sort of like church Sunday school picnics.
They would have been more distressed if you guys were wine.
I think so.
What about a place theory that if you have a poem that has no clues to weather or place or anything, you should be able to know them?
I feel so.
Is that
I think there's
cannibal?
I feel it is. I feel it is very much so. In other words, when there is the question of where you are in that sense, in other words, I don't know, people say, I don't understand this. In
I've
the sense
done
that
an
they say, I don't understand the
place. Elizabeth Bishop's Mountain, you know.
Yeah.
That ask people to name all the colors that are in it. There isn't a color word from start to finish, and I get the same ones every time from everybody.
I know that I've got a feeling of what I see in a poem, which certainly can be can be something that you can't find how any clues were to it in the poem. So the poem turns into a window. I've always assumed that I am seeing something by agency of the person writing that I never saw. I know I have that very strongly, so strongly that when a writer tries to persuade me of what they saw, move me around in that scene and poke me and say, look at this, I'm annoyed because... I know an example of this feeling about the poem. Among all the criticisms of Lycidas in its own time and of Milton's Lycidas, there was a bishop who wrote on Lycidas, and at the end it really is rather funny because he says, and I don't understand why Milton didn't mention all those cows that are down there in the field. It was that real. And he goes off into the rest of the classroom that has never appeared in Lycidas. So you, in this sense, you can have both. Why in the world did he ask me to look at those cows? I can see them. I was looking at something else. And the other way around, why didn't he mention those nice little cows down there? It goes on, and the light turning on in the houses. In other words, the bishop is sent by the poem, but the poem does make its world is that real. And even this doesn't include another point I agree with you. I do think that if you could collect the data as you did, what colors do you see in the notebook, you would get the same color. In other words, I do think we're looking at something actual.
Not subjective.
Yeah, no, we're looking at something quite objective, but then we're in the magic of the poem, aren't we? The other operation, that is, how does the poem project? I don't mean this is a question to be answered, but at least I'm always confronted with, when I'm writing the poem, I see that clearly. How is it that the poem projects in me something I see that clearly? So clearly that I'm really reporting on it and in no sense making it up. And have really barely time to follow it. And as if you were taking shorthand notes, the speed of how to get... And yet, when we could also come to ease with what Margaret Everson observed, what you leave out, the reader sees. You really don't have to go that fast with this business. Because you only really have to get it and somehow it unlocks it. It was not part of the job for Elizabeth Bishop to get all the colors in. She had just to get it and then actually the colors would be there.
A nasty one. Automatic writing poems, not like me. Threw it out, don't want to think about it. That's not relevant, is it?
Automatic writing. Well, it's relevant in part of it because it brings up, if no, if we are going to go as far as saying that this locus is a locus of the poem, in other words, that the poem can open up something so definite and objective in its existence that all of us to the poem can even see there, there's the possibility that the speaker of the poem also is as objective a fact in what you did and what you were thinking of. Once it gets automatic, is actually you what you could be called, what was called present. I really don't believe the present psychology's picture that you're going into your own psyche when you go into the psyche, or else I would never have written a Pindar poem with its Cupid and psyche and so forth. We participate in the psyche, and our own psyches are real enough to us that they happen in us. They're where we live them in the actual world. I mean, our actual personal psyches have their own real life. But when we enter the psyche that's in the language, we really are. That's why awful, ugly things can happen. Well, for instance, everything that ever happened. I mean, but what does awful, ugly mean here? It might not be awful, ugly.
No, I don't know what this poem is. I can't do anything.
It's not that scary.
I have a cigarette.
What, Ellen?
I want a cigarette.
Well, Ellen, what is there?
I feel upset.
No.
But it's not that frightening. I mean, it is and it isn't. Yes, it is frightening.
Well, look, let's go. Robert, one time in conversation, you made the distinction between, well, Max Finstein is the one that brought it up. Robert was in Taoist.
And I certainly didn't make that distinction. He showed it to me.
Visiting friends, and everybody's talking as much as we are now about poetry and all the same context. And Max Finstein's interrupted with the sense that we are not poets in the sense that we don't possess this as an absolute character, that we are simply we are poets literally as we are writing. In that, is that Alan? That doesn't. What can one say? In other words, is there to be a division?
Well,
there can be no division.
I'm not capable of saying anything right now.
Yeah.
Not just that, I just don't feel in contact.
With this?
What
is contact?
No, I don't feel contact with Denise, I don't feel contact with Rob.
Yeah.
I feel contact to some extent with you, and I feel in contact with Martin.
Yeah.
But the conversation, is such that I will assert something, and then you will assert something, and we'll be talking to each other. That's why I've been so calm.
Right. You mean you would rather that we not discuss the possibility that there are our possessions, which we're going to start discussing. Leave it alone.
To me,
I don't mean that. No. Whatever that means, I don't know what that means.
I'm trying to think of how is it possible.
I want in.
Yeah. Well, you're in. You are in.
Or am I including myself in singing now?
No, it was after all a subject we were on.
Then we get to
the subject was the no.
I didn't know it was a subject.
The subject is the thing that locked you up, but then if you think of
I'm sure.
Sure.
I have a second argument I was not able to follow the subject.
Well, if there's any consolation to you, Alan, I wasn't really
following.
Where are we? Where am I?
That's on the screen. With myself.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily will wind up being a disturbing thing.
Well, John, that's the thing. But he wasn't mad. He was distressed because he closed off.
Is the fact that many people in this psychic life, that the greatest, remember you're talking about the gift or the present or something or the door, and the greatest door that one has is to realize that he is living the psychic life underneath this super life. And this is where he begins.
There's only one.
Stray is you're talking about the
Well, I think perhaps where we got caught was when, because I do think sometimes I've found this is at least as peculiar a view of mine, and I was advancing it because I would say that a very personal view that I have so strongly that I can see that some human beings have had it and others haven't had it at all, and that is that what we are, I think the thing where it got, where you found yourself closed off of understanding, was when I said that we have our own psyches, but when we are in the psyche, and this is when writing becomes automatic and you release it from your...
Let's read it back to the poem, yeah. Though. We were just talking about the fact that there can be a poem without clues, but all readers...
And you can see a world, yeah. And then I said, isn't it that also the voice in the poem can be that objective and not, and then belong to both the reader and the writer and not to you? And you can see why I have that view, because I read Pound as if it were the voice of my own experience in life, and all those people are close to me, so I have a very... I never can divide off, since I often say, I wrote it when I meant I read it. And I often say I read it when I meant I wrote it. So this is a very, very strong personal pattern that I was trying to say was a counterpart. And the objectivity of the voice, the objectivity of the thing seen, and those two both are strong for me.
Then what about this? There can also be poems where everybody reading it does not see the same colors. Everybody sees something different, and yet the poet... If five readers tell the poet what they saw, but the poet feels that they were all right and that he didn't know all those things, but he responds to them as true. And then a sixth person will tell him, and I saw such and such, and one knows that he is mistaken. It's not just that he has seen another thing that was also there, which the poem has released, that he has released another thing from the poem in his vision, but he's seen it wrong. Now, how does one know that? It seems to me very, very subjective, but it's very, very real. I've felt it very acutely.
Tell him about the, you know, the poem you have in reference to two readers who talk about the poem, and so that the poem...
No, I don't.
That two girls who had read a poem of yours, and maybe just the story back of that is something like this, isn't it? I mean, because of the distance from you and where the poem was.
Well, this is this isn't a reader telling me what my poetry was. It happened to me several times last week. But every time it happened, I recognized that they were right, and my idea process originally was wrong.
It's not wrong.
You know, it wouldn't be as wrong as the wrong word, or writing the wrong word.
Yeah.
But they were feeling something that I had this block of feeling about the poem I had written. But which was built into the poem, and which was unconsciously built in, or built in by the psyche, but that the psyche that they were reading through and the psyche they were communicating to me through and explaining what was coming up was the same psyche. Without knowing it, finally, many years later, came through to me and was realized by me, but was realized by them first.
Well, you know how I see it? As if the...
That I...